I didn't know you can get those type of videos on your phone.
Totally. I don't know what I did before this.
Yeah, it's better hope your wife never finds out.
It's not a big deal. Besides, she's been kind of not fun lately. Look, she's not going to find out. It doesn't matter as long as it doesn't hurt anyone.
Are you serious? God never said that.
Sorry, is this hurting you?
Wow. Have you ever heard anyone say that? Have you ever said that? It doesn't matter as long as no one gets hurt. It doesn't matter what I do. How many said it before? Be honest. See a few hands. I got a few more questions I'm going to ask in a minute, so I'll get ready. We're going to have fun here this morning. But here about 2 weeks ago, we started a new series entitled God Never Said That. The first week we dealt with the first of four what we're calling cultural beliefs that have kind of crept into the church. And the first was that above all, God wants me to be happy. And in that sermon, we dealt with how that, you know, happiness is not the ultimate. There are times when we may not be happy, but we might be right in the middle of the will of God. There may be other times when we are, you know, we feel great in the moment, but we are far away from God. And so that's something we dove into, and we dealt with the theology of happiness and the danger that can lie in that. And then last week, we dealt with another phrase that I think all of us have said one time or another. When somebody was going through a tough time, we sit down next to them and listen to what they had to say, and when we say a few platitudes, things we've heard 1,000 times, and then we say, well, God will never put more on you than you can handle, which actually, God never said that, and it's actually not in the Scripture. It's taken from a verse in the Bible, but that's not really what it's saying. And so last week, we got into the fact that there are times when we face things that are more than we can handle. But the good news is God can help us. They're not too much for Him. And that He allows us to face those things sometimes just to get us to recognize we can't do it on our own, so we'll depend on Him. But also, He allows His people to go through things that are hard and difficult so He can show His power in the midst of their difficulty. I believe there's some of you could share with me today times in your life when things were at their worst, God was at His greatest. When things in your life may have been falling apart, but God shows up and declares to you and everyone around you, it may be too much for you, but it's not too much for me. I'm glad to know that this morning. How about you? Because the thing is, when we buy into the idea that God will never give me more than we can handle, we think we have to handle it on our own. But He didn't. That's not what the Word of God says. He said, cast all your care upon me. The Scripture tells us to give it to Him, for He cares for us. So instead of trying to do it on your own, it's time you let God intervene and work in your life in a powerful way. Next week, what we're going to do, we're going to get into a very dangerous cultural belief in the church world. I've heard people say it many times. Say, it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere. We're going to look at that and show you how dangerous that statement is, but also, if you get it right, how powerful it can be to really live for God. And so we're going to get into that next week. But today we're going to focus in on the idea that it doesn't matter what I do as long as it doesn't hurt anyone else. Now, what's the unpardonable sin in our society today? What is it? To call someone a sinner. So we're going to do something here this morning. I can see, you know, this might be a kind of a heavy message, so we're going to lighten it up at the beginning. I want you to look around you real quick. I want you to see who's sitting next to you, behind you. Got it? All right. You know who they are. Now, on the count of three, I want you to point to the biggest sinner that's around you. You ready? One. Two. You ready? All right. TJ got it right. He's pointing to himself. That's honest. It just, You know, the Apostle Paul, what did he say? He said, I'm the worst of sinners. The Apostle Paul. I think that's the right approach. Smart move. If you pointed at your wife, you might not be here much longer. He's not going to do that here today. Did any of y'all point at your wife? I didn't see it. I couldn't see everyone at one time. But, you know, one of the things that I found in our society today that's interesting, if you go back to the time of Christ, the biggest focus of society then, kind of the what everybody was pushing was justice. Justice was at the center of everything. But if you stop and you look at our society today and you ask, you know, what is the big push? The big push of our time is tolerance. Now, what's very interesting about tolerance is even the definition of tolerance has changed in the last few years. Tolerance used to mean that everybody is of equal value. But now tolerance is this: every idea, every desire, everything is of equal value, and you have no right to say that anyone is right or wrong. It's moral relativism. Nothing is, you know, there are no moral absolutes anymore. Everything is equal. If you feel it, you like it, you do it. No one can tell you any different. That is the push of our society. So, you know, if someone tells you you're sinning, oh, I can't believe someone would say that. I can't believe someone would tell me I'm wrong. None of us like to be told we're wrong. We kind of like that part. Say, well, bless God. You do this, so what's wrong with me doing this? And that's the deal that's going on in our society today. And we're about to be reading a scripture in 2 Timothy 4, verse 3. You can go ahead and put it up here for him here. We're going to read that here in just a minute. But what I've seen is our society has even come up with new names for sin. Have you noticed it? That makes them sound like they're not that bad. You know, it's no longer pornography, it's adult entertainment. It's no longer adultery, it's an affair. It's no longer premarital sex, it's fooling around. You know, they find ways to make sin sound okay. They make everything seem like it's not that big of a deal. And you might be getting uncomfortable here this morning, but we will deal with sin here this morning because it's absolutely necessary. And here's what I want us to get at the beginning. The reason preaching against sin is necessary is so that we can know the power of God. If there's no preaching of sin, there's no understanding of the need for a Savior. And the problem is a lot of people in our society today have bought into, it's okay, I'm okay, it doesn't matter. It's just one big happy family, we're all going to heaven, it doesn't matter what we do, but let me let you know this today, it does matter. It is not the truth. It does matter, and we're going to get into this subject here today, and I think it's very important for us. 2 Timothy 4, verse 3, it says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. You know, as a kid, I couldn't figure out that, you know, why does the teachers have itching ears? What does that mean? Well, it's King James, so I'm going to read it to you in another version. Maybe it'll help you here just a little bit. It says, for a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. I don't want someone to tell me I'm a sinner, so I'm going to go find somebody who tells me I'm okay. That's what 2 Timothy 4 verse 3 tells us. But this is what I want us to get today, is that sin is real. Sin is a problem. It has serious consequences, both now and in eternity. It's something that can destroy your family, but it also can destroy you for eternity. It's something that's of severe consequence. So today what I want us to look at, as we dive into this, it doesn't matter what I do, as long as no one else gets hurt. I'm going to deal with some ideas or cultural misbeliefs about sin itself. And the first one is this. See, you might have said it before. You can go ahead and go to it. I'm not a bad person. So, Pastor, you calling me bad? Let me see what the Scripture says. 1 John 1:8, what's it say? If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. In other words, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So if any of us claim to be righteous in ourselves, we were lying. We're not telling the truth. And so how many of us knows who Ray Comfort is? He's kind of an evangelist. You'll find clips of him. He deals with all kinds of stuff. We actually did a deal on Wednesday night with it recently. I'm going to do something that he does, and I want you to be honest, okay? How many of you in here have ever lied? All right, now I want to point to the one who didn't raise their hand and say, liar, liar, pants on fire. Can you do that here today? Because they just lied in church. That's terrible. Can you believe anyone would do that? Has anyone ever stole anything, even if it was a pack of gum, as a child? Okay, we'll be honest. Took something from your brother that wasn't yours. You're a thief. So just asking those two questions, we got a church full of liars and thieves. Man, we're bad people. And I didn't even ask the other questions. I thought it might get kind of uncomfortable, especially there's not as many here this morning as normal, so we won't go into those questions. But all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, including me. None of us here today are good in ourselves. Not one of us. There's none righteous. No, not even one is what Romans 3 verse 10 tells us. So until we see ourselves as sinners, we won't see our need for a Savior. Until mankind understands their need for God, they're not going to turn to Him. In Bible school, one of the things they taught us, to really be able to get someone to know God, you got to first get them to realize that they need God. They're a sinner in need of a Savior. You're not going to sell something to somebody they don't realize they need. And it's hard to get people to accept that they need a Savior when they don't think they're a sinner. It's something that we have to understand for ourselves, that none of us here today, it doesn't matter how long you've been in church, how long you've been a member. Being a member doesn't save you. Being baptized doesn't save you. But it's being washed in the blood of Christ and walking with Him every single day. That's where we can find our strength of salvation. Secondly, another cultural misbelief about sin is this. See if you've heard this one. You may have said it. All sin is the same. Well, brother, isn't it? God never said that. I'll explain that to you here today. Something I want to get across very clearly, though, before we move on, so there's no misunderstandings, and you don't go tell, you know, everybody that the pastor said some sins aren't that big of a deal, or some are and some aren't. That's not what I'm saying. We'll explain that. But you know that today, you know, people will come up and say, well, who are you to judge me, you know? What I'm doing isn't any worse. Sin is sin. Right? You said that. Maybe you've heard someone say that to you. Something I want us to get, though. The Bible doesn't teach that all sin is the same. But understand this. That all unforgiven sin leads to eternal death. Get that. That's what we got to understand, first of all. What does Romans 6:23 tell us? For the wages of sin is death. But the good news, the next part, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But the wages of sin is death. In other words, sin demands death. Not a slap on the wrist, not a, you know, swat on the behind, but death. That is the wage or the punishment for sin. So all unforgiven sin leads to eternal separation from God. So that's something I want you to get. But this is something else I want us to realize, is that God's word never says that all sin is the same. Because sin and how we live our life influences at least three things. First of all, it influences the consequences that we face here on earth. How many knows the difference between getting mad at your parents and punching a cop? What's going to happen? Your mom may send you to your room. He's going to throw you in jail. All right? There is a difference. And there's something I found very interesting. There's a pastor of Life Church. They actually have a bunch of campuses across the country. His name is Greg Rochelle. And he said one time that he was pulling out into traffic, okay? Let's just imagine that we're pulling out onto, well, where's a four lane that you don't have a median in? He was pulling out, but anyways, he pulled in front of this car, and he didn't realize how fast they were going. And so they had to slow down, switch lanes, and go around him. And he said, I gave him the universal sign for, my bad, you know, you look down, raise your hand, don't look him in the eye, you know. And he said, but he gave me another sign. Now, for Pentecostals, in Bible school, they said this is the Pentecostal bird, you know. They gave him the finger. And he said, you know, something, I just don't like that. And he got upset, and he said, I sped up and caught up with the guy, and we ended up at a red light. He said, but one thing I noticed as I was pulling up next to him, he had a Life Church bumper sticker on the back of the church he pastored. And said, so he rolled down the window as he's pulling up next to this guy, and the guy sees him, and his face just turns white as it goes. He just gave his pastor the bird. And then he gave him the universal sign for, my bad. But you think about it. What he did was, I consider it a sin. It's a form of foul language or disrespect. You know, it's something I won't do. But there's a difference even between that and pulling a gun and shooting somebody. Right? What happens if you pull a gun and shoot somebody because you're mad in traffic? You're going to jail. If you kill them, you might get the death penalty. Depends what state you live in. There are different consequences for different things in this earth. But also, there's a different, this, you may not understand this or have read this before, but the scripture talks about our reward in heaven. The word scripture tells us our works will be tried as with fire. There's some that when they come and they laid their crowns at Christ's feet, they're going to have a few more crowns, or at least a crown with a lot more jewels than mine, because of the way they lived and the difference that they made in eternity. And also, it may affect your eternity without God in hell. This is something that I thought was very interesting, and I don't understand it completely. But if you go to the book of Luke, chapter 20, verse 47, this is something Jesus says. He says, the Pharisees, they devour widows and houses, and for a show make lengthy prayers. These men will be punished most severely. Some versions say more severely. Now, when it comes to hell, I'm not going to say one place is hotter than the other. But I tell you, if you knew the truth, and you rejected God like someone that's referring to here, you notice that Christ doesn't go after the sinner who never knew God. He goes after the one who claims to be a Christian, but uses, you know, their ability or their position in the things of God to bring harm to other people. He said, you're going to be punished most severely. There's a price you're going to be paid. You're going to have to pay even greater than others. You know that Jesus called one sin greater than another in John chapter 19, verse 11? Jesus turned to Pilate and he said this. He said, therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin than you. So all sin is not the same. There's consequences here on earth. Now, I'm not saying that all sin won't send you to hell. We discussed that at the beginning of this point here today. But I want us to understand this. But also, 1 Corinthians 6:18, it talks about sexual sin. What's it say? It says, run from it. Get out of there. Run from sexual immorality. No other sin in Scripture is so clearly rejected like this. It actually goes on to say, no other sin so clearly affects the body as this one does. For sexual immorality is a sin against your own body. Other sins, it says fight. This one, it says run. You know, the Scripture also says in another place, that don't even let there be a word of sexual immorality among you. Now, understand this. Like, say someone worked under me. Let's say we have a youth pastor, and he may get mad at me and scream and do something he shouldn't have. I can forgive him. He can stay in that position. But when it comes to sexual morality, it's over. Not saying God can't forgive them and restore them to ministry later. I'm not saying. But at this moment, it ends here. Because we, as believers, the Word of God talks about those in leadership especially being pure. But he told to the churches, he said, don't even let there be a whisper of it. Not any hint of it. Don't even act like it. Don't even do the flirtation thing. That's not something that God is going to wink at. That's not something that God's going to embrace and just say, oh, it's no big deal. It's under the blood and you keep doing it. No, that's not how it works. Because all sin, you know, is wrong, but also there's some that God just really gets after us about. So it doesn't matter what I do. Yes, it does. Sin has consequences, some greater in this life than others. Another misconception that we have is this. Since I have already done it before, I might as well keep on doing it. Think about it. Well, I lost my virginity, so I've already done it. No big deal. Just keep on doing it. Drugs. I did it once. Might as well do it again. Cheated, and it benefited me. I didn't get caught. Might as well do it again. Is it okay just because you've done it before to do it again? No. But that's something the church world today has even embraced. And it's very disturbing to see it take place. This was even an issue in Paul's time. If you have your Bible, I want you to turn to Romans chapter 6 and verse 1 and 2. It says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid it. How are we who are supposed to be dead to sin going to live any longer in it, is what the King James says. Another version says it this way. Should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of His wonderful grace? Of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? In other words, if you've truly been set free, you're not going to continue to do that. You may slip up, but you're going to repent instantly. It's not going to be something you justify, but it's something you put back under the blood. You know, I hear this sometimes, and this is very interesting. As a pastor, they'll say, brother, I just want to go deeper in the Word. I want to know more. I want to be able to understand the original language, and I want to get this and that. And, you know, that's great, and going deep is really, really good. But here is what I found to be the case more often than not, is that many times it's not that we need to know more. We just need to do what we already know. And this is something I want you to remember real quick here today. Get this. Spiritual maturity is not what you know. It's not how much you know, but it's how much you obey. Spiritual maturity isn't, well, I know I've read every book in the Bible. I know this, this, and this. I know all the doctrines of the church. I know what God's Word says about that and about this. But if we don't obey it, it doesn't matter how much we know. What I've seen is a lot of times people's knowledge of the Word of God is much greater than their obedience to it. So what we need is not more knowledge. And, you know, I want to give you more knowledge. I want to be able to share with you. Go deep enough that you get something, but not so deep you miss it. But more than that, I believe most of us here today, we don't need to know more. We need to take what God has already told us and apply it to our life. To take what we already know and say, God, I know what your word has said. Now, I need your strength to live in obedience. A lot of times what we have today is an educated church, but they're so educated, they think that knowledge is the same as knowing Him. Let me tell you here this morning, you can know Him. You can have a doctorate degree in theology and not know Jesus one bit. You can have a doctorate degree in pastoral studies but not understand what it is to truly walk with Jesus every single day of your life. It's not more knowledge I find that most of us need. It's a desire for God. It's a love for Him to pursue Him in a greater way. You know, one thing I've seen that's sad is the most miserable people are usually not those who've never heard about God, never been to church, but it's someone who claims to be a Christian, but yet decides to continue to live in sin. They say, oh yeah, I'm a believer, but yet they reject what they know and they do what they know they shouldn't. I don't know if you've encountered it a lot, but there's some, they have such a knowledge, but they reject it and they get harder. Sometimes they're the worst sinner you could ever imagine because they know the truth and they say, okay, I know it, but I don't care. And I'm going to do my own thing. The scripture actually warns about that. It says those that have known the truth and experienced the power of God in such a wonderful way, if they turn away, can they even be saved is what the scripture questions. And so that's such a dangerous place to be. I don't want any of us here today to take the truth and just reject it. We got to apply it. It doesn't matter if you've done it before or not, it's still sin. You might be comfortable with that particular sin, but does it make it not a sin? What we do often is, you know, we have our pet sins. This is the one that I've done, so it's not that big of a deal, you know. But if what they did, my goodness, can you believe that? Did you see? But my sin, it's no big deal because we're comfortable with it. I've done it before, so it's okay. Well, actually, it's not. I think that many times as believers, we somehow think we've got a side deal with God. That, Lord, you know this is the way I am, so you'll just overlook my willing, full sin. It doesn't work that way. We've got to make sure that we're in obedience to the Word of God. Romans 6 again, what did it say? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. If you ever get to the place that you don't ever feel like you sin, that's a dangerous place to be. Because the closer you get to God, the more you understand sin and the danger of it. If I get to the place that I don't feel conviction, that's when I'm concerned. Because even as a pastor, there are times God deals with me and says, you know, that's something you need to get right. That's not something I want in your life. And I repent before God. And I say, Lord, that's, you know, with your power and with your strength, I'm going to turn away from that. But if we ever get to the place that God can't deal with us, that's when we're in trouble. When we begin to justify things and we live in things that we know are not right, that's when we find ourselves where we can't hear the voice of God. There's a short distance between, oh, well, I sinned again and God forgive me for my sins. There's a short distance between us just accepting what we're doing and going on and turning away from that and asking God to recognize and forgive us for what we have done. You know, it's not that we need to earn God's love again, but it's because we love Him. And when we are not convicted of our sin, what we are saying is, I don't care whether or not God cares or not. I don't care if this breaks the heart of God. I don't care that Christ had to die for this. I'm okay with it. That shows us that our love and our intimacy with God is not where it should be. And the thing is, sin is progressive. Sin is something that grows. This is something that you see, sin grows the greatest in the darkness. When we try to hide our sin, it just gets greater. When we try to hide it from our spouse, when we try to hide it from those we work with, if we try to push it under, we're just putting it in a prime location to grow in our hearts. And that sin begins to take hold of our lives. It gets bigger and bigger. It's when we repent, when we bring it into our into the light, that our sin is dealt with. But one thing I've seen, if people have a thing where they're bound to looking and watching things they shouldn't be, it just continues to grow. It never shrinks. If someone is addicted to drugs, that doesn't just go away. It keeps getting greater and greater. If you lie, you just lie again. How many knows if you lie once, you have to lie again to cover up the lie? And then it happens over and over and over again. And then before you know it, you've lied so many times, you don't know what the truth is anymore. And you don't know where to start. And everyone around you recognizes it. Hey, that person's a liar. Because sin is progressive. It starts out once. Oh, I'll just do it this one time and I'll never do it again. But it doesn't work that way. What's the saying? If you give the devil an inch, he'll take a mile. Say, oh, this ain't a big deal, but before you know it, the devil's got you tied up and in the closet, bound by that addiction or that thing you said you would never give into, that you said you would just do once. Because sin is progressive. And you may say, well, brother, it's not that big of a deal. This sin is not really, it's not that big. Yes, it is. It is dangerous to play with sin because sin and God's holiness don't go together. What I want in my life, and I hope you want in yours, is the presence of God. What I want in my life, and I hope you desire for yours, is such a mighty move of God in you that when you get up in the morning, you sense His power. That as you go through your day, that you recognize He's with you. That's what I want. But if you continue in sin, or if you put sin under the rug, that sin's going to grow and it's going to choke out the presence of God. Because sin and God's holiness don't mix together. It's like oil and water. It's not going to happen. You say, brother, I want God's presence. I want it so bad. Well, you might need to deal with that sin. It's like you have someone over to your house, but you don't want them to go in that one room. Anyone have that room? Okay, I'm going to confess. We have that room. Block that, lock that, you know, make sure they don't get in there. They see that, they'll... We're like that with God. God, you can come in, but stay out of that room. But if He ain't Lord of your whole house, He ain't Lord of your life at all. You have to give it all to Him. So we cannot have pet sins. We can't say, well, I've done it before, then it must be okay. No, it's not. It's bad news because what happens? Sin hurts God. It hurts people. It hurts you. It kills intimacy. It dulls God's voice. It hardens your hearts. Sin will take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay. It's going to cost you more than you want to pay. That's the bad news. But what's the good news here this morning? Jesus is a friend of sinners. What do they criticize Jesus for? He's over there with those sinners again. The good news this morning is Jesus is a friend of sinners. How many is thankful for that here this morning? All of us are sinners set for grace. There's none righteous, no, not one. Today, we can look at all these things and recognize that we are all sinners. But the good news is Jesus is a friend of sinners. I'm going to go back to a verse we read last week. We focused on the first part, but I want to focus on the end of it. It says, God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way of escape. Or another version says, a way out so that you might be able to endure it. So what he's saying here is there's going to be things that come your way. There's going to be temptation that you're going to have to deal with. There's some that are going to be hard. That there's some that are hard for you, they're not for me. There's some that are hard for me, that for you, it's not a big deal. That's not your weakness. That's not your area of temptation. But when that temptation comes, and it seems like I can't say no again. It's just too much. The Word of God says God is faithful, and he is going to make a way for you. He's going to make a way out. What's the way out? I got one word for you. Jesus. What's the Scripture say? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Brother, I don't know how to do it. I don't see a way out. Well, Jesus is the way. His power and his presence in your life is how that you overcome that sin. And really what I believe God's wanting to speak to us today in a world that tells us as long as it doesn't hurt anyone, it's okay. A church world who embraces that wrong ideology. What I want to tell you today is it's time that we deal with our sin so we can experience the presence of God. And the good news is that Jesus is a friend of sinners, and that Jesus is the way that you can overcome your sin. That Jesus is the way that you can live in victory. That he is the way out. You can't, but he can. What's the Scripture say in another place? I can do some things through Christ. Is that what it says? I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. That's what we need to get today. When the devil tempts you this week, what I want you to do is say, hey, I'm under the blood, and the Word of God tells me through Christ, I can make it. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Sin is great, but God is greater. I talk with people about a lot of things. You know, and maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's a certain tendency they have, and they say, I don't know how I could ever walk away from that. I've tried, and it's just too much of a draw. I want to tell you, when you encounter the presence of God, there's nothing that he can't do. There's a battle between the flesh and the spirit that may continue in your life, but if you begin to allow the power and the presence of God to permeate your being, and you allow him to fill you daily, and you seek him out, I tell you what, the devil's going to be defeated in your life. What I'm sick of, and I'm just going to get on my pet peeve as a preacher, is churches who cater to sin and just tell people, that's just the way it is. You're just going to be bound the rest of your life. I'm here to tell you, Jesus didn't say, I've come to help the one who's bound just make it through their bondage and live in chains and come out, you know, okay in the end. No, Jesus said, I come to set the captive free. He said, I come to set free those that are bound and give freedom to those that thought they'd never get it. He said, I've come to take that slave that's in the chains of that thing that's holding them back, that addiction, that lifestyle, that mindset. Maybe it's been generation after generation after generation. I've come to stop that. I've come to break that chain. And what happens when we say, well, this is just the way it is and God can't do anything about it? What you're saying is God is not powerful enough to break the power of sin. What you're saying is the blood of Christ was not enough for you. But I've come to tell you this morning that Jesus' blood that he shed on the cross of Calvary is not only to forgive you of what you've done, but to set you free from the power that controlled you. I'm here to tell you today that when we come to an altar of salvation, it's not so Jesus can say you now can go to heaven, but it's also so he can say whom the Son has set free is free indeed. You no longer have to live in that bondage. You no longer have to wake up every day under the darkness of that, but I am going to break those chains and set you free. That's what the gospel is. It's time we as the church start preaching the word of God and seeing people set free. I read something the other day that really kind of got me as a preacher that said, yeah, that's exactly what's going on. The preacher said this. He said, the church world today is trying to counsel out what we should be casting out. I'm not saying you're possessed of the devil, but I'm telling you, it's time we recognize when Jesus gets in, sin gets out. That when God comes in on a situation, sin no longer has a place to live. He doesn't coincide. Jesus is not going to shack up with the devil and say, hey, we'll share this house together. He said it's either mine or it's his. There's no other way. If you think you can, you know, keep your sins in this room and God in this room, let me tell you, God's not there at all. You're just letting the devil do whatever he wants. And the reason I'm telling you that today is because Jesus loved you and he wants to set you free. It's time we quit buying into the lie that I've done it before, so I might as well do it again. Or, hey, everyone else does it. You know, this is the way it is. And you know, all sin is the same. And I'm not a bad person. I'm a good person. And surely God won't send a good person to hell. It's time we quit buying into the lies of our society that tells us it doesn't matter what you do as long as no one else gets hurt. Because it's a lie. Straight from the pit of hell. It's a satanic lie. That the devil is putting over our nation, over this community. There may be some of you under its hold today. The devil's has been leading you down that step. Hey, nobody knows about it. Your wife doesn't know, so you can keep on doing it. You know, they don't know about it. No one sees it. As long as you keep it a secret, it's not a big deal. It is. It'll affect your eternity. But it'll affect you now and in this life. Why did I preach this today? It's because I know the devil's lying to you because he knows what God wants to do in you. Because I know the reason the devil is lying to you is because he knows if you get a hold of God and God gets a hold of you, he can't stop you. The devil wouldn't lie if it didn't make a difference, but it does. The good news is today is that God is able to make a way for you. He did when he sent his son. So when you hear this lie whispered in your ear, when you go to say it. Oh, it doesn't matter what I do as long as no one gets hurt. I want you to rebuke the devil. Like Jesus told Peter when Peter told him something that wasn't of God. He said, get behind me, Satan. I'm not putting up with that. That's a lie straight from hell. I am not going to accept that because I understand that what the devil's trying to do is to stop me from experiencing what God has for me. The devil lies because he knows if we get the truth, we're going to turn the world upside down. He knows that you will change and you'll change everyone around you. So he wants to stop you. I'm not going to let him do it in my life. Are you going to let him do it in yours?